Hello and welcome to this third episode now of this EFL at URN podcast. I'm joined by Luke again. How are we, Luke?
I'm good. We didn't release an episode last week because we were both on holiday and Harry's Wi-Fi was bad. So if you were looking forward to an episode last week, we did put one out.
Yeah, we an episode did go out.
Yes, only over a week late, but
enjoy your holiday. Good holiday, yeah.
Yeah, too warm though.
Well, yeah, it's been really hot, hasn't it? Seeing as we didn't put an episode last week, we thought we would start this show with just a quick sort of overlook on what happened in game week two. We'll just focus on a couple games. So if we looked at League Two, you know, there's no outstanding score lines. Maybe you could make a point for the 3-2 between Barrow and Bradford, or Stevenage 2, Stockport 1. But I think the first game we want to look at is actually up in League One. So we'll jump up there, and it was between Burton Albion versus Bristol Rovers. What are your thoughts on this, Luke?
Well, it was a bit of a surprise, really. I know Burton didn't have a great start to the season the week before. Yeah, they've really carried on their bad form throughout this whole season. And Bristol Rovers, you'd expect them to give them a good game, seeing as Bristol Rovers are the promoted team. But yeah, is this result only due to Shaughnessy being sent off really early, or does it boil down to Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink just being a really bad manager and having a really bad squad? I don't really know, but games later on may show a different story, really.
Yeah, well, you know, in this game, Shaughnessy got sent off in the first minute. And then ever since that moment on, Bristol Rovers really, you know, countered this and got four goals before half-time. Aaron Collins also getting two there, 44th minute. And like you said, it's sort of one of these games where if Shaughnessy hadn't been sent off, do we think Burton not won it, but might have been able to be more competitive? I'm not too sure. As you said there, I don't think Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink's the correct man for the job, in my personal opinion.
And it got worse for them last week as well. They got knocked out of the League Cup by Rochdale, who haven't even won in League Two at the moment. I don't think they've got it. Have they got any points in League Two, Rochdale?
Let me look quickly.
I think they're definitely in the relegation zone, Rochdale are in League Two. So that's a really appalling game for Burton to lose, especially because I know Rochdale's goals are on the break. But realistically, you really should be beating Rochdale, especially in their current form. It's becoming a bit, well, I don't know. It's becoming a bit dire for Burton. And I wouldn't be surprised if people now think that they're relegation favourites and are maybe a basement club in League One at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. If we quickly move on, you know, because this was last week. Another game which we have looked at is Bolton 3, Wickham 0. And we saw Dempsey score two goals. And it's sort of added to Bolton's unbeaten run at the moment. Have you got any thoughts on this game?
Just that Aaron Morley finally is coming good for Bolton. I think he didn't really have an amazing end to last season after he moved from Rochdale. Dempsey's brace was quite good too. And I think Bolton just looked like a really good, really strong team for League One standing at the moment. I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of them, but yeah, I really think they could go for automatics if they keep carrying on in this form.
Yes, definitely. You know, if we come up to game week three, you know, they're still three games unbeaten. They've got a good squad. You know, Dempsey's one of their star players that they managed to sign from Gillingham last winter. So I think it'll be interesting to see. And it's also important to note that this 3-0 win was over Wickham, you know, Gareth Ainsworth's side. They don't normally concede three goals. So I think this might be showing their class. I would say class, but they're sort of putting their stamp out, saying they're not a team that's going to be overlooked. They're here to play and they're here to try and push for promotion. One final game we want to look at in League One is Exeter versus Port Vale. Again, this was another high scoring game for one team, and that was for Exeter City winning 4-0. Goals come from Kite, Brown and Nombe. What are your thoughts, Luke?
A really good start for Exeter this season. Didn't really expect them to be this strong going into the first three games. Vale just looked really bad. Really, really, really bad. Like the exact opposite of they did against Fleetwood. Exeter also surprised me in the Tuesday game in the League Cup by scoring seven against Cheltenham. It does really show that Exeter are here to stay, really, and do have a good shouting chance in this league.
Yeah, in our predictions, I know we didn't really talk about it, but we both put them down, Exeter down for a mid-table team. And I think with the squad they have at the moment, I think that's easily achievable if they keep these big
squads. Well, lower mid-table, I think.
Yeah, but the one team we'll look at here is Port Vale, because this is a team that me and you have both put in the relegation zone. I've put them in at 22nd and you put them in at 21st. Is this like sort of help improve our point, do you think, these opening games?
Well, the game against Exeter might prove our point, but they have started the season relatively well. I think they surprised us by beating Fleetwood, Fleetwood have been quite good since they got defeated against Vale. And I don't know, Vale might just be an odd one that we just need to keep our eyes on, because I think anything could happen. I think they'll be very inconsistent this season by the looks of it anyway.
Yeah, definitely. You know, they've got a massive game on Tuesday against MK Dons, you know.
Massive.
Massive game. You know,
for both clubs, really.
It's a relegation battle. So
it is.
And then we continue with game week two. We'll just quickly move up on to the championship now. A lot of, again, great games going on. It was a bit more high scoring compared to game week one, you know. And the first game we should really look at is QPR versus Middlesbrough. And this is a 5-goal thriller. QPR going 3-0 up at half time, and goals from Willock, Doon, and Dykes. And then Middlesbrough sort of fight back in the second half. And then also add more excitement, a late red card for Middlesbrough's Lennon. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, Chris Willock has started the season left last season. I think he's a really good player for Championship. I think he's one of the best of the Championship based on his form anyway. Dykes with the winner. Didn't really see Dykes as a really good goal scorer anytime I've seen him, really. But yeah, QPR's attack spread the accolades, assists and goals from most of their attack in midfield. Middlesbrough a bit off boil at the start of the season. You'd expect them to start stronger. Really, from both sides, they both should be aiming for playoffs, I think, but both defences really had a horrible game. And Stefan, Middlesbrough goalkeeper on loan from Man City, probably should have kept out 2 goals. There was a sending off towards the end of the match, which I don't think really affected it.
No, it's just one of those, you know, 92nd minute red card. If we go back to our predictions, I think you've put them in at 6th. I remember I was having a debate with myself on whether to put Middlesbrough in the playoffs. I think they've got a very good, strong squad. I think QPR do as well. And QPR, you know, currently after game week 2, they were sat 8th in the table with a win and a loss. So I think there's just two teams you've got to keep an eye on, you know, maybe for the playoffs, and they might be able to push themselves in because they definitely have the squads for it.
Yeah, I really think that Middlesbrough can get playoffs. It's just been not a great start to the season for them.
No, definitely not. Another game we'll look at in the Championship now is Swansea versus Blackburn. This is where Blackburn won 3-0. Even though Swansea had 71% possession, there's one question which I would like to pose to you, Luke, and is that, do you think Russell Martin Ball works?
I think he's being found out in the Championship at the moment. Because, let's be honest, he didn't do really well at Milton Keynes either, did he? If you think about it. You came 14th or 12th that season.
Yeah.
Last season. So I don't know where all this like great admirement of him is coming from, seeing as he did not amazingly with a decent team. And he's underperforming with Swansea a lot, really. Yeah, his Swansea team are not really pulling up any trees. And I think Russell Martin, the pressure's on at the moment, I think. He'd want to get this Swansea team into the playoffs, but I don't think it'll happen this season. Judging on like their play at the moment, I think they're very easy to predict. And that's not really going to go well for them.
No, well, with the Russell Martin team, they, you know, they like to control possession. They like to pass it around the back and wait for the chances to come. But you know, looking at the Blackburn game, when they have 71% possession, but they only had 5 shots on target, you know, something needs to be asked on whether, you know, having all this possession works or whether they need to be a bit more direct and create the chances. One real way which I see Swansea, you know, getting caught out is they like to play through the third, so they'll be passing it around the back and then they'll try and play it up to the striker, you know, through the midfield. But it's a lot of times like this is when they get caught out. One stray pass in that midfield and their team will counter on them. And a team like Blackburn, when they've got strikers like Bereton Diaz, is that really going to work at this league? You know, because these players are more critical in front of goal.
So yeah, they haven't got the killer touch at the moment, I don't think. Obafemi's missed a sitter in the first game too, which he definitely should have scored. And yeah, they've only scored one goal
in
the first two games. They scored one goal, and that was from centre back. So, and that was just the screamer, really. So they haven't really created a lot of clear goal scoring opportunities, I don't think. And yeah, they really got punished against Blackburn. And I'm really really happy to see Ben Burton Diaz back on the score sheet after being anonymous basically since February.
Yes, definitely. One final game then from game week two, and that was Bristol City versus Sunderland. But this ended up with a 3-2 win for Sunderland. You know, two early goals for both teams. And, you know, it was a bit back and forth before Sunderland came on top with a goal from Stewart in the 72nd minute. Do you think Sunderland's strike force of Sims and Stewart might be the reason why Sunderland has a good start?
Yeah, I think they're really good, actually. I think they're very suited for the Championship. And while Sunderland as a whole, really, they look pretty competitive, especially with like 30,000 fans behind them every home game. I think they will definitely not get relegated this season, I think. No matter how high they finish, I think that Bristol are probably the perfect team for Sunderland to face, seeing as Bristol are, well, they're good at scoring, not very good at defending. The only positive to bring out of that game is Vyerman scoring again, and that he'll continue to do that throughout the season, and he'll be a really positive spark for Bristol. And I won't be surprised if a top Championship team came down for him, like a Norwich or something, yeah. Especially in a state that Norwich you're in at the moment.
Yeah, well, he's got good Championship experience, and he's proving that he knows where the back of the net is. One point I want to focus on this game is actually Corey Evans' yellow card, and that was in 15 seconds, so we might be seeing a potential for the quickest yellow card this season there. Anything else you want to add on this game? Or
well, I kind of want to do a little bit of a segment, really. Extremely bad refereeing.
Yep.
As you might have seen on Twitter, there was a clip circulating the Shrewsbury Accrington match of Tom Flanagan getting two yellow cards and the referee acting all alpha male and stuff and saying, oh, hey, one yellow for the push, one yellow for the back chatting or something like that off your pop. It turns out that referee mistook Tom Flanagan, one of the most distinctive looking centre backs in the league, in blue and amber, with our goalkeeper, Marco Amorosi, who has a bright green shirt on and goalie gloves, and also is from Slovakia, I think. So yeah, even if it was like he didn't hear the right person, it's literally someone with an Eastern European accent compared to someone with an English accent. I don't really get how he's messed this one up. He's had previous with Shrewsbury too, sending Norburn off a couple of seasons ago, and that red card was rescinded too. So some referees just need banning. He was so bad all game. He was awful. Their goal was a throw-in for us, and they were allowed to take it 30 yards back so they could start a fresh attack. Not the best refereeing, to be honest with you. That was one of them days. I was just raging for the rest of the day. And I was actually in Bath at the time that I realised that the red card had been rescinded. I was fuming. How can you get a goalkeeper and a centre back mixed up? It's insane. It's insane. Right. Shrewsbury were definitely on top in that game until that red card. And if we didn't beat, well, we'll come on to it later, but we beat Wickham at the weekend. If we didn't beat Wickham at the weekend, we'd be on 1 point from three games. So still above Milton Keynes, but still doing really badly. And that could have just affected our season so badly.
Yeah, it's a real game.
He's just going to get nothing for it. He's going to get nothing for it, the referee. Is this a disgrace, really?
Right, I think we'll leave that one there, then. I'm sure we'll have more talks like this in the future about.
Oh, yeah. We definitely will. Yeah,
we'll make it a permanent segment every week. Right, so that was our sort of overall game week two, all the all the real action that we missed from our week off last week. So if we now move up to this weekend, so we've just had game week 3. Again, you know, we're seeing some interesting scores. If we, you know, do our usual start in League 2, first game we should really look at for me is Salford 3, Crewe Alexander 0. What are your thoughts?
I think the Salford have started the season really well. I think they might be the only team, well, one of the only teams to have a clean sheet in all the games. I might be wrong. I think that's right. They just looked amazing, really. And I know Crewe got a red card. Sambu got a red card. I don't know why, because it was off camera. But like Lej Bella and all the Crewe players looked really pissed off that he got sent off. But with him, so he must have done something. But
apparently, he grabbed Theo Vassell by the throat in an off the ball incident.
Oh, that's nice.
Nice, isn't it?
Oh, what a nice man.
Little strangle.
Well, positive for this game is obviously Salford winning, and Asante just looks different gravy, really. I think he's too good for League 2. What do you think, Harry?
I think he's unbelievable. I have to say this. He is a product of the MK Dons Academy. But I think 2 goals in this game. He scored in the first opening game and he got assists in the opening game. I think he's one of those players which is going to be really tough, especially for League 2 defenders to, you know, handle with. I think he's definitely ready to play in the top end of League 1. He's always playing on the middle. I think he might be Salford's key player this year if they can keep him fit. Salford currently sit third at the moment, you know, 7 points, goal difference 5. They're really making a stamp and saying that maybe this year's the year. We've seen all the Sky Sports documentaries where they're, will this year be the year? And then they sack the manager and it's not. So I think this year with the squad they've got as well, not adding too many players might have been crucial part for him.
Yeah, I think we predicted playoffs for them as well, actually. Or I did. I definitely think I did. I think you might have done too, actually.
Yeah, so you've got them in at 5th and I've got them in at 6th.
That's demonstrating our football knowledge, that, Harry.
We're really, you know, showing what we know.
Yeah, and that's probably one of the only predictions we've got right so far. But we'll move past that.
And also, another important note is that Crewe, this isn't a team that's struggling in League 2. I know they struggled last year in League 1, but they've got 6 points from 3 games this year. So Salford, you know, good display against a good team.
Yeah, I think it was probably one of the outstanding performances in League 2 this week. I think they did really well.
Yeah, definitely. Is there a game you would like to focus on?
Tranmere 3, Gillingham 0. Not what you'd expect. Did you have any thoughts on it, Harry?
Well, Tranmere get an early goal through Nevitt and then second half sealing the deal with Brysos and the right back Dacris Cogley, you know, getting a goal. I thought, if you're looking at the stats on it, I think it's an even game with 53% for Tranmere, both having 9 shots. But I think the real, from an outsider, from a neutral point looking at these stats, you look at it and you see shots on target and Tranmere have got 4 out of 9 whilst Gillingham got none out of 9. And I think this sort of shows the difference between a Championship and a League 2 team. You know, when you get a shot, a Championship player will hit the target and a Gillingham player is not as critical in front of goal. So, yeah, I've got sort of a low response for this. What about you?
Yeah, well, Gill's missed their only big chance of the match, whereas Tranmere created 3 big chances. So there's obviously a massive gulf in that match in terms of creativity. And I think after a really bad start for Tranmere, I think they lost both of the first 2 games. I think this should put them in the right direction to hopefully challenge for playoffs and make my prediction right.
Definitely, definitely. All right, the next game, League 2, we should look at Wimbledon 2 versus Doncaster. I think this game, you know, it was a 2-2 game against 2 teams who had been relegated from League 1 last year, but what made this game so exciting is that all 4 goals came within the last 20 minutes, with Wimbledon scoring in the 76th and 84th minute, and then Doncaster managing to pull a comeback out in the 86th, and a goal from Roshan Williams as well in the 94th minute. Have you got any thoughts on this game?
Yeah, really good comeback from Doncaster. Scoring obviously in the well, going 2-0 down in the 84th, then coming back to draw in the 90th. Roshan Williams' first league goal, I think he broke when he was a schoolboy. I think he broke the English 100 meter sprint record. I think that's true anyway. Obviously, he's got great pedigree coming from the Manchester United Academy, playing with Marcus Rashford and Lingard and stuff. And yeah, I think Doncaster did really well to come back in this game. I think it was a boring match until probably the last 30 minutes. There wasn't too much between them, really. Young Coombs played really well with a goal. Oh, 76th and the 84th. Yeah, promising player for that. I think hopefully he is young. He can't be called Young Coombs for being old. Oh yeah, he's 19. Promising sign for Wimbledon, that is. So having a 19-year-old score a brace for them. Yeah, I think it's one of them games where you see in the EFL quite a lot. Not much happening until the last 20, 30 minutes. And yeah, turned out to be a really good game.
Yeah, definitely. You know, these are two teams recently relegated from League One. Didn't have the best of seasons last year, but you know, they're holding their own in League Two now. Wimbledon sat at 8th with 5 points and Doncaster the same on 9th with 5 points. So I think with the squads they've got, if they can just get the players going, I think these are two teams which may finish just short of the playoffs, in my opinion. But, yeah, you know, providing entertainment like that with 4 goals in the last 20 minutes. Any other games?
Well, there was more late drama in another League Two game, and that was Walsall Stevenage. Yeah, it was the Battle of the Dannys. Danny Johnson for Walsall scored in the 13th minute, and then Danny Rose. And not the one, not the ex-Spurs in England, but Danny Rose of Stevenage scored in the 90th plus 10 a minute from a tight angle, really, from a set piece. And Steve Evans has got his Stevenage team off to an absolute flyer. Same as Walsall, Michael Flynn. But yeah, Stevenage is surprising a lot of people this season. And obviously, Steve Evans did not do great with Gillingham last season, but I think he's started off insanely well with the Stevenage team. What do you think, Gary?
Yeah, if we look at Stevenage last season, they were in a relegation battle. And at one point, you're looking at them thinking they're going to get relegated to the National League. So this massive turnaround to have the first three games and, you know, you're picking up 7 points. I think if you proposed that to any Stevenage fan last season, they would absolutely snap your hand off for that. I know it was a late rescue, 90th, 10 minute, but you know, these late goals for a lot of teams, some goals where you pick up the points, pick up some good points that help you along the roads, because 1 point's better than none, isn't it? Also doing it against Walsall, who were sat second. All around, it's a good game.
Yeah, Walsall absolutely flying before this game. I think they scored quite a few goals and didn't concede any. So it's a really good scalp for Steve, not really scalp because he drew, but a really good performance and result against Walsall for Steve Evans at Stevenage, and I think they've really put a marker down for the season. The rest of the games from League 2, Bradford 2, Newport County 0. I think Newport were reduced to 10 men and Harry Chapman scored the winner. Carlisle 1, Swindon 1. I'm really impressed with Carlisle. I think they'll do pretty well this season. Harrogate 0, Crawley 0. Dom Telford not in the squad for Crawley. Leighton Orient 1, Mansfield 0. Probably Mansfield deserved to win, but Leighton Orient just took their chance. Northampton Town 2, Hartlepool 1, Rochdale 0, Grimsby 1, late Luke Waterfall header from a corner in the last minute. Very nice. Stockport County 1, Colchester United 1, one of the bookies' favourites to get promoted, finally get a win on the board. Sutton 1, Barrow 0, controversial ending to this one. Barrow probably should have got an equaliser in the last minute. And then, yeah, I think that's it.
Lovely stuff. If we then move up to the League One, you know, where the best league in the
league, yeah.
A lot of action. So we'll run through Shrewsbury first. You know, I know you're excited about this one. Big 2-1 win over Wickham. A late penalty helping Steve Cottrell's men take all 3 points. What's your thoughts?
We didn't play that well in the first half. I think we basically let them come on to us and dominate the game, really. We did reduce them all game, really, to long shots, which is where they scored from eventually. But keeping them for shots outside the box, definitely a plus for this Shrewsbury side, even though the first half wasn't great. Then basically George Nurse's long throws basically saved Shrewsbury. We created a lot of really good chances from his long throws, especially Pennington's goal, which was 60th minute. After Pennington scored, I think Seacroft will change formation, taking Taylor Moore off and putting on Tom Bayliss, who won the penalty in the end. Joe Jacobson fouling Luke Leahy, and obviously Mr. Captain Reliable, Leahy scoring a penalty after his fantastic free kick against Carlisle on Tuesday. So, yeah, basically Shrewsbury out-Wickhamed Wickham in this game, which well, Gareth Ainsworth even agreed with that, saying that Shrewsbury did a Wickham of a few seasons ago, which I think that's quite accurate. Did not have most of the play at all. Shrewsbury with like 30% possession, 35% possession compared to Wickham 65. And yeah, we just fought for everything. And that's what you get with a Steve Cottrell side. And I wouldn't be surprised if we draw, well, get something out of Derby as well, because we usually do really well against these big teams. And yeah, this season might actually be good. Not got a lot of confidence, but probably the most confidence I've had for a while.
Yeah, definitely. Looking at the table, Wickham in 18th and Shrewsbury, you now moved up to 15th with 4 points.
Joint 10th.
Joint 10th if you want, then joint 10th. But yeah, I think this game, again, I know we talked about a lot this episode, but how crucial it is to take the chances you're given, because
Oh, yeah.
Wickham had 18 shots, Shrewsbury have six, Shrewsbury walk away with 3 points. I think you're in a great place for this season. You've got a good team, you made some good signings. Let's see you all work off now and get the gel together and see what can happen. Do want to quickly mention Wickham though. They've got one win in their first three games, so 18th in the table now. Do you think it's going to be the same year as last year and they're getting the playoffs, or are they going to struggle?
I think they'll eventually challenge for playoffs. I think they might have a bit of playoff hangover as well. That might contribute to it. And they've also got several people out injured, like Tafazoli. Folks is out too. So they've not really got their full strength team at the moment. There was a few big admissions for this scene, for this team. And yeah, I think Shrewsbury definitely exploited that. So this weekend also threw up a not well. It's a slight surprise, really, of how bad Milton Keynes are doing. Harry, you support them. How did it go this weekend?
Terrible, rubbish, devastating, heart pain. This is the poorest I've seen Dons play in years, I would say. Losing 3-0 to Ipswich Town. Thought, it's just, well, no. Let's run through the game before I run through Dons. So, Ipswich, two quick goals before half time. So, Burns in the 5th minute. Great finish, to be fair, into the far side netting. Keeper couldn't really do anything about it. And then Marcus Hairness as well, proving to be an excellent signing for Ipswich. He bagged on in the 28th. And then Connor Chaplin, great to see him on the score sheet as well, by the way, scoring in the 60th minute of the second half. I think you saw a very class Ipswich team, with 63% possession, absolutely smothering and dominating a very weak NK Dons team. I think the lineups, seeing players like Sam Morsy for Ipswich, I don't think he's a League One player. I think he's a Championship player. So I think Ipswich, they're going to do very well this year. They've gone top of the league already, 7 points off the first three games. So, they're a very tough team to deal with. If we move on to
I was just
my
going to ask how scared and concerned are you as an MK Dons fan?
I think this is the most scared I have been in a while. I think the team we have at the moment, the players we've signed, they're all going to be great players, but the focus in that sense is will be. I think, signing players like Dawson Devoy, Dara Burns, Connor Grant, Dennis, these players, these are 20, 19, 20-year-olds who haven't really got a lot of experience in the league, in League One. I think they need a year under the belts before they can actually do anything. So adding that to what we already had, losing players like Scott Twine, Harry Darling, Matt O'Reilly last month, I think you've got a very weak team. I'm a bit worried that the fact that we haven't been able to score a goal yet. We're the only team in the EFL now not to score. You've got Dean Lewington. I absolutely love Dean Lewington, but he can't play left back. Last season, we did so well with five at the back. Two fast wing backs to back three. And for some reason this year, they've decided to change formation and go for a 4-2-3-1. And it's just not working. The players don't know what they're doing. They don't know. It's all about, the last three seasons, they've been building, saying, the whole purpose of the team is we're going to have possession, a possession-based style with a purpose to try and score a goal. Not like Russell Martin, where you have a possession and just keep the ball. Our idea is to keep the ball, but be direct. And then this season, it seems to have all changed. They're playing, the ball, they're playing long balls more. There's more long balls in one game than there has been all year. So, to answer your question, that was a very long answer, but I'm very, very, very worried. I think we have six players out injured at the moment, with Mo Ice and Will Grigg being the two standouts. And then you've got Tenai Watson, Daniel Harvey, the left starting left and right back out. So, I think until they're back in, I'm not blaming it on the injured players, because I think the players that we have at the moment should be doing better than they are. But until they're back in, I'm very worried, because I just can't see us competing against teams like Ipswich. Imagine our centre mids going up against somebody like Sam Morsy. A very youthful, unexperienced player in the league going up against somebody like Sam Morsy, you never stand a chance. Mm-hmm. Saying that,
do you think this is partially because of the teams you've come up against, though? A very strong Cambridge the first game, then Sheffield Wednesday, who league favourites really, and now Ipswich, who are promotion favourites. Do you think that has something to do with your bad form?
I would say definitely, because coming up against strong teams is never good. But then again, last year we were seen as one of those strong teams coming up, getting points. We didn't get any points against Sheffield Wednesday, but I think we did the double on Ipswich. So. Yeah. They are very strong games, and I do agree it's not ideal for start. But if you're getting points against these teams last year, we need to be getting those points this year. And I think the real test will be on Tuesday against Port Vale.
Yeah, if you don't win that, I would be very worried, because Port Vale, one of them teams that struggle away. I think Vale Park is their strongest place to play, and they will be down there by the end of the season. So if you don't beat them, you don't have a lot of hope.
No. But anyway, before I start crying, I think we should move on.
Quite a massive game, massive score-wise, in League One this season. This week. And that was Accrington versus Burton. It was 4-4. Burton blew a 3-0 lead and a 4-2 lead in the 80th minute. Keeler Dunn, hat-trick, was the only positive for Burton as they continued to ship goals. The lumping pressure on the manager, and the boys in yellow stay in the relegation zone after looking like they were doing well for half the match anyway.
Yeah, definitely. Two late goals from Acton Stanley, 90th and 96th minute. These are the times, where you would expect a team like Burton 4-2 up, you would think, oh, they've won the game, right, just see it off, lad. But you can see two late goals, it's just a bit sloppy and shows that they're, not fully concentrated to the final whistle. So again, this is not going to help Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank. Burton, it gets Burton off the bottom shelf with 1 point though, but it's nothing major, is it? Especially when you've been 4-2 up with in the added time. But Keeler Dunn getting a hat trick, I think that's very good for him, a young player. So maybe he could be an exciting prospect for League One this year.
Yeah, they sit on -7 goal difference after three games, conceding 11. The team below them in goals conceding is Cheltenham with 6. So Burton have basically conceded double the amount of goals as Cheltenham. That is a big problem, mate. Do you think they'll be able to solve that?
It's one of those things that needs to be solved quickly, because you can't be going, say the first five games, you can't be conceding 4-3 goals a game. Could come down to the end of the season and you've got -20 worse goal difference than the person next to you because you've let in so many goals at the start of the year. It's everything matters these days. It's not because of how close all the points become at the bottom and the top of the table. Goal difference is a crucial part. So having -7 already is ridiculous.
Yeah, and they don't have the best opponent to come up against next in Ipswich. Ipswich are really going to dominate that game, and I fear for Burton if they don't pick up any wins in the first four games, then I think Hasselbank might be near the end. But good away day for me if they continue to act really grim, and you actually.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Hopefully a good win in Burton, sunny Burton. So the other results that we haven't really talked about, well, I'll just go briefly over them. Bristol Rovers 1, Oxford United 0. Oxford really struggling to create. Cambridge 2, Exeter City 1. Exeter score, and then Cambridge come back with two quick goals near the end. Cheltenham 0, Portsmouth 2. Cheltenham again struggling against a good League One opposition. Derby County 2, Barnsley 1. Derby again continuing their good run of form, and I think they'll be quite up there towards the end of the season. Lincoln 1, Forest Green 1, bit of a nothing game. Morecambe 1, Fleetwood 1. Stockton not in the Morecambe squad, apparently phoned in sick. He will probably move this window. I think Fleetwood, maybe Shrewsbury and Ipswich are all eyeing him up. I think Fleetwood the clear favourites at the moment. And then you've got Argyle 2, Finnazar scores again. Peterborough 0, Port Vale 0, Bolton Wanderers 0. Bolton are going to put in a complaint against the referee after the red card, and also they believe that a shot went 2 foot over the line. So in all respects, Port Vale might be pretty lucky to draw that match. Sheffield Wednesday 1, Charlton 0. Another good game. Well, another good result for Wednesday, even though their performance was a bit off. Yeah, so that's the rest of the games in League One. I think we should go on to the Championship now.
Yeah, so if we're looking at the championship kicked off on Friday with a 1-0 win for Watford over Burnley. And then on Saturday, it's getting more exciting. You're seeing some bigger scores, a 3-2 for Millwall over Coventry, Hull 2, Norwich 1, Rotherham 4, Reading 0, Sunderland 2, QPR 2. And I think the first game that we should really focus on is Rotherham versus Reading. These are two teams which me and Luke have both put in the relegation zone. I think Luke put Rotherham 23rd and Reading 24th, and I was the reverse. So Reading 23rd, Rotherham 24th, So this is what we are predicting to be a relegation battle. However, one team showing the class and one team not, with one of them getting four goals. What's your thoughts?
My thoughts is that a keeper lost this game for his team, which is pretty common in football at the weekend. Yeah, Lumley had probably one of the worst games I've ever seen a goalkeeper have. It can be argued that he was at fault for at least two of the goals, maybe three if you count Washington's first goal, which was is near post. Yeah, or Washington's second, well, the second goal from Washington, which was hit at his near post. Basically, Lindsay, for the third goal, has a shot from about 30 yards out, a tame one, courtesy of his legs and the hands. And for Ogbeni's fourth goal, he decides to charge out of goal and completely miss the ball. So, yeah, I think Lumley, not a great goalkeeper for championship standards, and he definitely will get dropped after that performance, I think.
It's been a good start for Rotherham, though. They sat eighth in the table, 4 points from two games, so now they've got a game in hand. Reading sat 18th in the table with a win, but they've also got a minus four goal difference now. So yeah, I think these are two teams that you need to keep your eye on. I think Rotherham might be slightly stronger than I originally predicted. However, I don't think they'll stay up as high as eighth for much longer. But Reading, this is a team, under Paul Ince, maybe Tom Ince's son could save his dad's job, but other than that, it's not looking good.
No, I think I said from day one that Reading are my favourites to go down, and they basically showed it in that game. I don't think the team as a whole did too badly, apart from maybe the three centre backs and definitely the goalkeeper. I think that Ndiaye did all right, Fauna did a good job, and that was basically it, really. I think it wasn't a whole bad team performance, which would be suggested by the score. I think most of the 90% of the blame from that defeat would go to Lumley. I think, yeah, just the worst performance I've ever seen for a goalkeeper. Maybe Karius might beat him, but I'm not too sure.
Yeah. So if we keep on the theme of goalkeepers, let's go from the worst goalkeeper of the weekend to probably argued the best, and that's Dyang for QPR against Sunderland. This is a 2-2 draw. Sunderland 2-0 up at half time from goals from both Stewart and Sims, but QPR fought back in the last 5 minutes with a QPR goalkeeper managed to seal the deal with a header to get the point. What's your thoughts?
I think again, Sunderland came out of the blocks really strong with Ross Stewart's goal in the 31st minute, and then Ellis Sims in the 40th minute. I think them two strikers are made for the Championship, and I think they'll do really well this season. But then you see a side of QPR that we saw last season, well, mainly for the first half of the season, really. With basically the main attacking output in Chair scoring a really good free kick from about 30 yards out, and then. Yeah, really. Do you want to talk us through Deng's performance in that game? Obviously, the match winner. Well, basically, he saved them and he saved them, basically.
Yeah, you know, he made some great saves in the game. If the main standout would be the goal. Basically, the ball's been crossed in and he's managed to head it past the goalkeeper. I've heard it be described as a bullet header to get this goal. And then shortly after, he manages to save Elliot Embleson's shot, which moves onto the crossbar. So he was showing his capabilities at both end of the pitch, I guess, managing to score the goal and also help maintain the draw. I think Sunderland, you know, they've got a great team. And so far, three games in, I know it's only early days, but a win and two draws, they've really shown their capability to compete at this level. And this is also an important thing to note on this game. It was a very active game. So you saw Sunderland had 16 shots while QPR 20 shots, so lots of action occurring. But then again, you look at the shots on target, QPR only had 4 out of 20. So do you think that's what, well, not cost them, but is could be costly down the line, creating so many chances and not even being able to put them on target?
Yeah, I think that's the big issue for QPR. They created 4 big chances and they missed 4 big chances. Yeah, they really shot themselves in the foot until the last 10 minutes where Dieng was just insane. Not even his first goal either in professional football. He scored one for Chippenham, I think, a few years ago when he was on loan. But it was QPR's first goalkeeper who scored, first time a goalkeeper scored for them, which is a bit of history, really. We don't really see it often at all. And if we do, it's from their own goal kick, usually.
Yeah.
I think it was just insane. It was just... It's something that you'd see probably once a year, if that. It's something special from Dieng, and he deserves all the plaudits that he's getting. He seems like a really genuine guy on the interviews too. And yeah, I think QPR should do well this season. I've been impressed in most of the matches they've played this season.
Right, another game. The Championship high-scoring 5-goal thriller was Millwall 3, Coventry 2. At halftime, the scoreline was reversed, so Millwall 1, Coventry 2. So we saw a second half come back again. Seems to be a common theme this week. What do you think?
What do I think? I think that Millwall played well after they conceded 2 goals. I think George Honeyman's goal to equalise was probably offside. He definitely did check if the linesman had raised the flag and did look incredibly surprised because he was just in acres of space. So I think that was definitely offside. And then Gustavo Hamer, I think it's Hamer, got sent off for dragging a player back on the break, which really did lose a game for Coventry, I think, because Hamer is one of their best midfielders when he's on form. And yeah, Saville's 85th minute winner really crushed Coventry, I think, because Coventry, especially for the first half, played really well and really took their chances cleanly. Didn't miss any big chances. Millwall probably on top for most of the game in like chances creation and stuff like that. I think their XG, Millwall's, was 1.6 compared to Coventry's 1.39. So just about deserved to win that, I think. But yeah. If I was a Coventry fan, I'd feel a little aggrieved that Horniman's goal stood. And I'd feel a little bit worried that they've only picked up 1 point from 2 games and they can't play any home games for the foreseeable future because their pitch is really bad. So they're only going to be playing away games at the Bowman or games at Burn Albion, the Pirelli Stadium, they did in the week. But yeah. If you're Coventry, I think you would be worrying at the moment because you're going to see teams ahead of you get more points because they're playing more games than you. And I think they might have to be playing catch up for the rest of the season.
Yeah, definitely. It's been a great start for Millwall as well. You know, with 6 points, putting them up the table in the playoffs. I know it's only been three games, but these good starts are good starts. If we look at one final game then in the Championship, we'll go for Huddersfield Town 3 and Stoke City 1. Also important to note that in the first half, Lewis Baker missed a penalty in the 21st minute. And if he scores that, Stoke City go 1-0 up. Do you see that as a big turning point in the game?
Yeah, because Huddersfield, up until after this match, were under a lot of pressure. I think they were doing really bad in the league. They lost the first two games, and they also got knocked out of the League Cup. So I think Nichols's penalty save was a crucial point in this game. And I think Baker will definitely be kicking himself after the amazing end to last season that Baker had. You would expect more from him. And I think on the balance of plays, Stoke definitely should have won this game. They've had 18 shots, two big chances, but obviously missed two big chances. I think Huddersfield looked a lot better in this game than they had previously. I think obviously the penalty save and the goal gave them a bit of momentum and confidence. But they're a tricky one this season, I think. How do you think that Huddersfield will do this season, Harry?
Again, Huddersfield is a team that, if you remember during the predictions episode, I was unsure on whether to put them in or West Brom into the sixth place of the playoffs. I think a 3-1 win is something that they needed, to be honest. I think they needed a big win because, you know, they hadn't won before the weekend. It's difficult to judge, you know, losing the manager so, you know, quite shockingly because he left, a massive surprise when he left. If you had asked me the question of the first two games, I said they would have struggled. But for some reason, the 3-1 is just making me think they've still got a bit about them. They've still got a great goalkeeper in Lee Nichols, proving that by saving the penalty. So they're sat 14th at the moment, but I think they're a team you need to keep your eye on. And they may just be able to squeeze themselves into the playoffs, but that's a massive maybe.
Yeah, I think a massive negative for Stoke as well is the almost anonymity of Dwight Gayle for the first three games of the season. I think you said he might be one of the top scorers in the Championship, and he really hasn't shown anything in the last three games to prove anybody right who said that, really. I think he's been very underwhelming for Stoke, and they really should probably start Campbell up top instead of him.
Yeah, he's a player that he's done it in the past. He scored lots of goals at this level, but you know, being at Newcastle and not really playing, it can have a massive effect because, yes, he may be training every day, but it's the matches, you know, where they get up to speed and sharpen their skills. So if he doesn't, I reckon that might be, for me, that probably be his last game as a chance he put Campbell on. But if he has one more chance, he needs to make sure he takes it. Otherwise, he could find himself pushed out at the starting 11 or put on the bench.
If we look at the other games, though, that we haven't really covered, we'll go on to that. Cardiff 1, Birmingham 0, very good performance from Cardiff. Birmingham and Cardiff probably should have had penalties that weren't given. Swansea 1, Blackpool 0, on the balance of play, might be the right decision, although the goal came against the run of play. Luton 0, Preston 1, finally a win for Preston. That might push them in the right direction. And yeah, Wigan 1 and Bristol 1. Vyman scoring again, which means he scored four goals for four games. And he really needs a move to pick a club. I think he's 31, so he's in the prime of his life. And yeah, he definitely needs to move somewhere further up the table. And then on the Sunday, there was Middlesbrough, Sheffield United, where Middlesbrough and Sheffield United drew. Ryan Giles' own goal kind of benefited Sheffield United in that match. And then Blackburn 2, West Brom 1. Yeah, Diaz on the score sheet again. I really hope he has a good season and pushes up to the Premier League.
Hello and welcome to segment two of this podcast. This is taking place now after Tuesday and Wednesday's fixtures. So if we just have a quick run through Championship, there's not really too much to add on. A lot of 1-0s, 2-0 scores. The only real game that stands out is Reading 3, Blackburn Rovers 0. Blackburn before this game went 3 out of 3 unbeaten, and Reading had not. They had only won one out of their first three. So a big surprise there, especially for a team me and Luke are put in the relegation zone. If we look at League Two quickly as well, you know, there's no real standout scores. Northampton winning, helping to push them up into the top half, top three of the table. You've got Mansfield, who finally get a good outstanding win with 5-2 over Wimbledon, and that sees them now in 10th place with 6 points. But apart from that, I have to say it's pretty standard. So if we really focus on League One in this segment, because me and Luke did a URN away days and covered two games. We start with your game, Luke, Shrewsbury versus Derby. What's your thoughts on the match?
I thought it was one of the best nil-nils I've ever seen, really. There was a lot of excitement, a lot of possession from Derby, which was to be expected. But I think Shrewsbury came away with it looking really good. And again, this has added to my confidence for this season because we really should have won the game in the end. Because Derby were just very toothless and didn't have that, like, direct balls. They just passed it to side around the back a lot of the time. I think there's a stat about one of their centre backs having more passes in that match than we had all season or something like that, which is great. It might be their team that match had more passes than Shrewsbury all season. But yeah, Derby didn't really impress me. It was just one of them games, really. I got there at about 7:15. Ticket system was down or broken or slow. So that was great. There was massive queues for that, which meant I only got in with like 1 minute to spare. And I think this game really shows that Shrewsbury definitely aren't going to be relegation fodder this season. We're actually going to be like mid-table probably.
Yeah, definitely. Just want to get your thoughts on some of Derby County's players. So, you know, players like Conor Hourihane. He's a man that could easily play at the championship level. Did he excel at this level or?
He didn't excel in this match. I think most of Derby's front six did not do amazingly well at all. I think James Collins had probably one of his worst games coming back to his old club. He wasn't good at all. He was just moaning and fouling and diving for most of the match, but still clapped him off at the end. The only bright spark that I saw that match was the appearance of Lewis Dobbin, a right winger or striker on loan from Everton, went to my high school. And he really looked really good, really quick. And he was the main attacking threat, I think, for Derby in that last 25 minutes. He really took the game to George Nurse and went past him a couple of times.
Yeah, he's one to watch out for at this level. Let's look at Shrewsbury then. What do you think about the new signings? You know, the Shipley seems to have slotted in, Da Costa as well. Is there anybody you're really excited to see how they can do this year?
I think Da Costa is proving to be an amazing right back at League One level. He's so quick and so attacking. He's basically playing as a winger for large parts of the match against Derby. He was up there in Roberts' face, really. He went past Roberts two or three times and should really have scored cutting in. And yeah, he's a great find. I think Cottrell's been wanting him since January, but he went to the Ligue 1 instead, which you probably can understand. But yeah, he did really well. Shipley and Bayliss, they've had like an average start to the season, I'll say. I mean, Shipley gets about a bit more. But I think, I don't know, Bayliss just seems a bit timid of getting stuck in and stuff. It's not great. But I mean, it's only his first four games and he definitely will get better. The best player on the pitch, obviously, is Luke Leahy. He's just time after time, he's just our best player on the pitch. And I don't know how he got relegated twice with Walsall and Bristol Rovers when he's just that good. I thought Pike did well. I think it's his second, third start in a row actually. After being basically frozen out for the last 2.5 years, he's been doing really well, and you can see he could be another Udoh, because Udoh was really quite poor and got given a contract extension by Cottrell the start of last season, and then he hit 15 goals, 16 goals in that season. So I think he could turn into a pie, because I think Cottrell is a really good man manager and he does get the most out of his players. So I don't know, I keep your eye out on Pike. All jokes aside, I think he might actually turn a corner and might actually be good this season.
We'll have to keep an eye on him then. If we look at the table now, so surely if after four games you got 5 points, an even 0 goal difference, are you happy with that start, or could it be better or worse, or?
I think obviously if a referee hadn't been so bad against Accrington Stanley, we'd probably on 6 or 7 points at the moment. I think the start on the whole has been pretty good. I think we definitely could have done better against Morecambe and Accrington, but the last three games that we played, I think we're unbeaten. And against good sides, well, Carlisle are the league below, but Wickham and Derby are meant to be two of the favourites for playoffs and stuff. So to get 4 points out of the two matches, I know Wickham are having a bit of a wobble at the moment, but I think it's very positive, and I think at this rate we could get something out of Ipswich at the weekend, and I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, well, Ipswich only managed to beat bottom of the league Burton 1-0. So, they're not as strong as everybody would seem. So maybe a team like Shrewsbury, you could, I don't know, claim all 3 points or get a point.
We could touch on Burton again if you really want. It's a weekly thing at the moment for Burton. Actually, I think what we've seen now after four games is probably the table, well, definitely, especially like the bottom three, kind of taking place a bit. I do think the bottom three clubs in the relegation zone at the moment will be the bottom three clubs, or well, certainly relegated clubs at the end of the season, because you've got Morecambe, who without Stock not Stockton will. I don't really have any hope for them. Cheltenham just looked disorganised, and they got beaten by Exeter 7-0, so you can't really expect too much. And then Burton, who've just been woeful. I know they've improved. Well, you can't w improved without winning any matches in the last two games and playing a bit more positively than they did before. But still, if that's probably the best they're playing, and they're not picking up any wins or really any points, really. So I can see them three teams being at the bottom. Who do you think will join them, actually? Who do you think will have like a bad run of games in the next like 3 or 4 games?
Well, if you're looking just above the relegation, so you're seeing teams like MK Dons, Wickham, Oxford United, even Shrewsbury to a point. I feel like those teams are going to slowly start creeping their way back up the table. So for me, it would be either Port Vale, Forest Green, Accrington, or Fleetwood, and that's four teams. But I feel like those teams will swap with the four I've just mentioned before. I'm going to go with Vale, Port Vale, as the standout one there.
Yeah, they couldn't beat a 10-man Bolton team, and they also lost against Milton Keynes, so they're not really in a great run of form.
No,
But
not
a team
at
that are in an amazing run of form actually is Exeter.
Yes,
Did not
definitely.
really expect this.
I don't think anybody did. Sat fifth in the table with 7 points. A team that's just been promoted, haven't really made any outstanding signings. I know they've signed Blackman, the goalkeeper, on a free from Huddersfield, but the strike partnerships seems to be the same as the one in League Two.
They were just the nearly men of League Two, weren't they? They lost in the playoffs like 3 or 4 times, I think. So they must have been there a good like 9 years, I would have thought, because they've been down in League Two for a long time. And there might be something special happening at Exeter. This early run of form that they put together certainly brings them away from the relegation zone. And I do have a bit of confidence in them. They've obviously beaten Wickham. That was a big coup for them. And I just think they're a really, really solid team. I mean, there probably are like a couple of injuries away from their starting 11 looking pretty poor for League One, but at the moment, they're doing really good. They're one of them teams that you just like, they could probably stay there for the rest of the season. I know they haven't been tested a lot at this level so far. They haven't been going against many massive teams. obviously apart from Wickham, because they've basically had Lincoln, Port Vale, Cheltenham, Cambridge, four teams you would suggest to be bottom mid-table of League One. So the big test in Wickham, I know they're on a wobble, but to beat Wickham and you're just a recently promoted team is really impressive. And I think they did really well against them.
Yeah, definitely. Another team that we should probably just touch on and big Tuesday night for them was Charlton Athletic. They beat Plymouth 5-1. This was a game where, you know, you saw Stockdale score a penalty. Plymouth had a red card from Wilson. And this wasn't a weak Plymouth side. You know, they've got Barley Mumba starting. They've got Whitaker, who's on loan from Swansea. They've got Finn Azaz playing, Jordan Houghton. You know, it's quite a, well, not shocking, but, well, no, yeah, shocking scoreline if you compare the two teams for it to be so one-sided. Do you think this could be Charlton's year because they struggled last year?
I think this could be a one-off for them. I think, obviously, the red card for Plymouth really put them out of the game. And I think the red card resulted in a penalty, which put Charlton 2-0 up and no way back for Plymouth, really. The one, well, Exeter's main rival, and I think Exeter will be really happy that they lost 5-1. And yeah, I think it was definitely an off day for Plymouth Argyle and a good day for Charlton, really. They've got 5 goals, is pretty good in this league. But I don't know. I've been impressed with them without being too impressed with them. Obviously, they've got a really good squad for this level. But I don't know. I can see them maybe getting playoffs, but I just see them at the end of the season getting into like eighth, ninth spot, because that's where they were like 2 seasons ago, I think. And I just think there's better clubs in League One than Charlton Athletic at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. You know, there's a high amounts of competition with a vast range of quality coming down from the Championship, and also Exeter proving a vast range of quality coming from League Two. Right, and then finally, if we move on to the game which I went to, and that was Milton Keynes Dons versus Port Vale. This is a 2-1 game, 2-1 scoreline, which went the way of MK Dons, thanks to 2 goals from Bradley Johnson. This game, you know, this is probably one of the most crucial games of the season for Dons, because before this, they found themselves sat bottom of the table with 3 losses out of the first 3 games, yet to score a goal as well. The first goal came from Bradley Johnson in the 34th minute. It was a left-footed strike from outside the box into the far corner. Really well taken, and it seemed to settle the Dons, because before this, they seemed a bit nervous and jumpy. But after this, they went into a much more familiar style of play with passing around the back. At halftime, it was 1-0. And then in the second half, not a lot really happened. Dons had a majority of the possession. And then a free kick was awarded Dons' way on the edge of the box in the 85th minute, which there was a bit of argument between the players, between Dennis, Kemp and Johnson. But eventually Johnson took it and he hit it low under the wall into the far corner. And then finally, in the added time, you know, it started to rain and so did MK Dons' defence start to crumble as Port Vale were able to squeeze themselves a goal in the 93rd minute from Harrison. This game, you know, I thoroughly enjoyed it, to be fair, because it's got the first goal of the season and the first points. And, you know, it was a smooth journey, to be honest. On the match day experience, I'll have to rate highly, 8 out of 10. Got parked very quickly, got in the stadium very quickly, sat down, and, you know, when we left out very quickly, that might be because we've got a massive stadium and not a lot of fans, but it was very efficient.
Should we move to the Championship now? Because there was a big game that I really wanted to talk about, and that was Reading 3, Blackburn 0. Why did Reading look quite good in this match?
That is an excellent question. I'm not really too sure myself either, because even though they've won the game 3-0, Blackburn had 65% possession on the stats here. But Reading did have 12 shots to Blackburn's 8. I haven't really got a lot to say about, well, I don't really know what to say. That's the real thing I have to put out there, because this is a Reading team which has been predicted to get relegated, not predicted to do well, and they've come against the top of the league. And I think on the day, Reading have psyched themselves up correctly and managed to stun Blackburn Rovers, who might have been thinking it was an easy win.
It wasn't really fair, because it was one of the most predictable. Well, you would have going into it, you think, oh yeah, easy Blackburn win. Reading are awful. Notably, Lucas Zhao is back on the scoreline. Coming back from injury, I think Tyrese Fauna, as I said, did very well in this game. As I predicted, he could be a lifeline for Reading this season. But I think on the whole, it was a Blackburn off day rather than, and a bit of Reading being quite good. They took their chances, but on the whole, I think it's just a really bad day for Blackburn.
Yeah, Paul Ince after the game said it was his team's best performance since he took over as manager. And that is quite a statement to make, but understandably, beating top of the league 3-0, who can blame him?
Yeah, and understandably, they haven't had any good performances until then.
Yes. Reading currently sit 8th in the table with 6 points. Is this a bit of a shock for you? Or
it is. It's a big shock. Them and Birmingham being as high as they are in the league is scaring me, because they were the two of my favourites to get relegated instantly. I know it was early doors and it probably will change, but I'm a little bit scared at the moment, because I really did not expect Reading to be 8th after 4 games, seeing as they have had a hard run at it.
Looking at the bottom of the table, relegation zone, you've got West Brom, Luton, Coventry, and then just above it, you've also got Huddersfield and Middlesbrough. Is this surprising?
Well, obviously the Coventry situation is different for all the other teams, because they can't play at home because of the Commonwealth Games holding rugby on their pitch, which has basically ruined the pitch. So well done, Commonwealth Games. You really did well this time. So I would expect Coventry to move up in the table a bit more. Luton, I'm really surprised at them. I mean, they haven't impressed me at all. They haven't had the worst four games in the Championship so far. They've had Birmingham, which you'd expect them to win, and Preston as well. So Preston was struggling until they went up against Luton. So Luton is a surprise, and West Brom just can't score. They just can't score at all. What do you think West Brom's problem is with creating goals?
Right. To be honest with you, if you look at their starting lineup, you know, they've made some great signs of Jed Wallace and Swift coming in. So you've got Dean Garner as well on the left. They've got Connor Grant. They've got Robinson as well coming off the bench in the last game. For me, that looks like that could be quite an exciting attack force. It may be that, you know, Swift and Wallace need time to just gel into this team. But for me, because I don't really know enough about West Brom to put my exact finger. I need to watch them week in, week out to be able to tell you the exact reason. But yeah, for me, I'm just going to say, give them a couple more games. And if, you know, if they don't start scoring, I think questions will soon need to start be asked.
Yeah, it's not been a great first 4 games for Steve Bruce. I mean, you would expect him to at least be good in the Championship, but at the moment, you're really grasping at positives for West Brom.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. You know, this is a manager that's, well, yeah, the Newcastle job. You know, he's well credited at this league and in the Premier League. A lot of experience. You would expect him to be able to get a team, well, near the top six at least. So I think a few more games, if they don't score and these players don't gel, I think questions will soon have to be asked. Right, well, that will be a wrap to this episode. I know this episode seems to have dragged out a bit, but that's because it's split into two parts.
We hope you enjoyed this episode and are still listening, because let's be honest, it's about an hour and a half. So I hope you're still listening. If nobody is, then oh well. See you next week. Hope for a good game of football at the weekend, and enjoy your weekends. I've been Luke, he's been Harry. He's probably going to be depressed at the weekend again, and I might be ecstatic. So we'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.